Jeremiah, whose life of prophesying and all was pretty much one of that was negative and down, and yet the last two chapters of Jeremiah are very positive. And what we hear today is from just about the end, and the wonderful thing Jeremiah says is, you had a covenant that was written down, and you couldn't seem to live it. But now God will give you a covenant to be written on your heart. And I would have to say, if we looked at the 613 laws, the Jewish laws, we'd have a hard time, especially if we couldn't read, and most people couldn't read, hard time living them. And he now says, a new covenant to be written on your heart, to be written within your being, with who you are and how to follow. Now, that is a covenant which should be easier and yet should be more difficult for all of us, because now we have to pay attention. How do I hear this covenant of God in my daily life? So that's the first reading, and we'll use it yet. The second thing I want to talk, the gospel. You know, it's a wonderful scene that, you know, someone who is Greek speaking comes to Philip. Why to Philip? Philip's a Greek. He'd be able to ask Philip what if he might see Jesus. Well, obviously he's there in the crowd, you can see him. That's the way we would look at the word see. But the word see in the scripture is not just about looking on his person. It's about I want to get to know who he is, what he's about, and that, so that I can figure out, does it make any sense to me, basically? Because the Greek probably, while he came to Jewish services, may well have been from some other religion, definitely not that he was Jewish. Did he ever get to see Jesus as a person? We don't know. John doesn't give us that much information. Story's missing a couple pieces, as they always are in the scriptures, but that's okay. So what is this? See Jesus. And what does Jesus respond? First thing he says is what? Well, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, that's a little bit difficult. What does he mean? Now, if anybody does any planting at all, you know that when you plant some seed, you hope it will grow something good. You know, I have green pepper plants about that tall right now. Right, just planted. And it's always interesting when you plant seeds is, okay, these things are 2 years old. Will they still grow 3 years old? And at what stage do some of the seeds even have no life in them to give back? But he's really talking to us. You know, he's saying, look, I have to fall to the ground so that you might, as followers, know how and where to go with who I am. Okay, this is not going to be the easiest piece. But then he goes on and says something about being raised up. So this person who has flowered and grown in our midst is to be raised up on a cross. Most of the time we tend to think of Easter and resurrection when we say raised up, because we seem to have been taught that pretty much as older Catholics, that that's where we understand Jesus has transformed. And yet what he's saying is, until I'm raised up on this cross on which I'm going to die. Gulp. It's much more difficult to say, this is the outcome of my falling to the ground, and yet it's not the outcome for Jesus. This is the beginning of who we can be, of who his followers can be in their daily lives, in their life of faith. There's a lot piled into a few words there, but they're very important to us. The seed that falls to the ground. Jesus is to be this seed that falls to the ground, and we, as we watch him raised up, have to understand that giving of ourselves to others is how we indeed represent him going forth, generation after generation after generation. yes, I'm going to have to die. And we know exactly what his apostles have been saying along the way. No, you can't go. What happens to us if you go? Or when Thomas says to him, well, we don't know where you're going, so how can we follow? And yet, it's here. Follow to the giving of ourselves in daily life as he did, that we can call others to be raised up and follow him. So we have a new covenant in him to be carried on and brought forth in our hearts, as was told in Jeremiah. And what is this covenant going to be? It's going to be allowing ourselves to do everything we can to make him present. Make him present in our world. In our world 2,000 years later, that doesn't look anything like the world that Jesus was talking to. It looks so far different. And yet it has the same call. The same call to be like him. To be like him in all that we do, and in all that we allow to happen to ourselves and through ourselves. Now, many of us in life live lives that are in covenant. Those who are married especially have what? The covenant of marriage. Before Vatican II, it was always called a contract. And we came to understand, no, sacrament's not a contract. It's a covenant. It's a covenant that's really written without 613 laws. It's written in love, on our hearts. Is it going to be the same day in and day out? No, because we're always moving toward one another, hopefully, as we go along living a covenant. So if we give freely in this covenant, then this covenant grows. This covenant is someplace larger for us to be. Well, the same thing is really true of the covenant of the Eucharist. It says, new covenant. When he says, take this and drink it, this is a new covenant in my blood. Take it and be it. You know, one of the senses of Jesus and this new covenant in his blood is considered to be the life force, and it very well is. Bleed out much and you're not going to have any life force left in you. But this life force going through you should, through all of us, should be our way to then look more and more like Jesus in who we are, in what we do. Now, as we're going through Lent, clearly in all of our lives there's been some seeds sown that do well and should. There's probably also some seeds around that look more like weeds than things that we should be growing. And so those weeds can be plucked out of our lives as we change. Where am I not like the Lord as I could be and as I should be? Why is it so hard to react as Jesus did unless somebody gives me 613 laws to follow, which I couldn't read and wanted to read anyway? No, it's how do I learn to grow in love, in a covenant of love with the Jesus who we don't see face to face, who we can only see in one another, in those who are Jesus' servants along with us as we live daily life. So we see a covenant. We see ourselves tossed down into the ground as seed grown up. We see ourselves at this cross as we give things up, at this cross as we allow ourselves to be crucified in life at times. And yet finally, what does it all have to be about? You know, when the Greek came, he said, let me see Jesus. In some Protestant churches, there's this little label that only the minister sees because it's right there in front of him. It says, let me see Jesus. And for us to say to ourselves each day, did someone get to see Jesus through me? If not, there must be a way to go back and allow ourselves to let Jesus show through each and every day.